Headline news. It's meant to capture your attention. It's meant to tell you something. But sometimes it reveals what they think. You know, it's more than just when the newspaper said, this was a long time ago, the war is over. That one was pretty easy to figure out. But if you were to take this section in Acts in chapter 11, depends upon your perspective as to what you would put in caption. I listed a few. Outsiders become insiders. The Gentiles were now to be included. With the call of repentance, I thought of this one. Bad people become believers. I don't know if everyone would like that one. Unbelievers no longer, - faith saves. Or come as you are, leave differently. But if the world today was to make the headline news about Acts chapter 11, it would simply say, no way. Unrealistic expectations. It likes the part of inclusion. It likes the part of tolerance. It likes the part of love. It likes the parts, you know, that seem to be all encompassing and all embracing. But when you get in the text to that word repent and repentance, it no longer likes it. I think if there's ever a reason that the church is in decline, it's not the aspect of the style of worship or the age of the music that we use or, you know, the lack of technology in this building or on and on. I just simply think it's the way sin influences our thinking, our core values, our decision making. The Christian church today that proclaims the Bible in the sense of God's word as he intended it instead of editing it is going to hit a lot of resistance. Because right now, humanity, just like in the days of old, people did not want change. In Paul's day, the change was, you know, the church was for, you know, Christians who were once Jewish and now carry over Jewish practices and kind of embrace them with the gospel. And now you have the Judeo-Christian church. And somehow the Gentiles just didn't fit. They're different. They're odd. They're strange. And there was a lot of fear of what they would bring into God's people. But the message of the gospel, it is come. It is a call of come. Come as you are. Come with your brokenness. Come with your confusion. Come with your sense of loss. Because GPS, in one sense, could be God is presently speaking. It is about God's call to us. Those whose solutions don't work, whose methodology fails, and whose denial about our sinful condition only goes so far. Because ultimately, the truth comes out, doesn't it? So God calls us, and he says, come, you know. And indeed, the people we're inviting sometimes are considered sociologically, ethically, morally bad. I'm one of those. How about you? I am the sinner who repents. I am the child of God in need of the cross. And God calls us into His family to be changed. And that's where the rub hits. How many of you love change, right? We're going to have some change at Grace for a few weeks while the remodeling project is going on, and we are going to test your nerves. Not to poke you, you know, and say, take this, church member, all right? But it is going to test, because you're no longer going to have a padded pew. You're going to be sitting in those white seats. And it's going to test whether you even come. It's going to test because Alan is not going to be on the organ. He's going to be on a grand piano. Alan is an organist. He is not, as he himself will tell you, a pianist by profession and training. Right, Alan? That's right. Okay. He gets what you got. Yeah. And it will test you. That liturgy just doesn't sound good on that piano, Pastor Al. You know, I prefer it on the organ. It will test you. It is change. We don't like change. But see, those are the external things that are going to go on, and they are temporary. That is the wonderful news. The project will conclude at some point, okay? But the change that God really wants to impact is not from pew to chair, but from heart of selfishness to a heart that gives God the glory. That's the change. The word repentance is a word that implies that the law convicts you of your sin, but the gospel brings a humility, a humbling to you, so that you say to God, I am sorry that I have sinned against you. And I am sorry that I have sinned against your people. I'm sorry I've sinned against my family. It confesses that there needs to be a change. The faith creates a desire to change. But that word change is threatening. I wrote these sentences. In our humanness, we would like to have Jesus without repenting. We would like to have heaven and keep sin until it's time. Right? We would like to have life our way and then eternal life our way. We would like to have God accept us instead of having us accepting God. We would like to have God serve us instead of us serving God. We would like to decide what is truth, what is true, instead of having God tell us this is the way it is. Isn't that our sinful nature? The call to repentance is a call to change that God desires to work in us. And there have been times when people didn't want to change. Remember Pharaoh in the days of Moses? And finally God said, I will harden your heart. And you can't stop the change because you are going to let my people go. And God's people were brought out of Egypt, brought out of slavery, brought out of captivity, and brought out into the wilderness. What was interesting as you read along is God's people didn't like the change. Manna again. Right? You know. And they were worried day in and day out that they couldn't have their freedom their way. And therefore it's a daily call to repentance, and it's a daily call that by the power of God, we give up self. See, I'm too weak to give up myself on my own. How about you? Yeah? But God calls us to love. God calls us and equips us to be loving. It is a challenge in our day because we keep putting our own captions into the scriptures and we miss the message that God wanted us to know. And so there was a tremendous change in the days of Paul and Peter and the like. There were tremendous changes when Luke wrote this and was given these very words by the Lord. There was a tremendous change that the message of John 3:16 was made ever so evident that God was calling all people to have life and salvation through the forgiveness of their sins. That God was equipping the church, those who believed, to reach the unchurched, those who didn't. You have been changed. You are the caption. Outsiders became insiders. You are an insider. You're inside the arms of God. You're inside the embrace of the cross. You're inside the kingdom of God. For we now are under the kingdom of heaven. And ultimately, we will know the kingdom of heaven in its fullness. But we are insiders. But we're not to ever forget that we were once outsiders. We are to never forget that we were lost, condemned. And we're to never forget that at times we act lost and condemned, even though God has called us His own. And the message of the church to the world is ever so needed now, that they can have what you have. That sins can be forgiven and guilt taken away and the fear of death no longer having its power, and on the list goes. You see, elected officials will come and go. Elections will come and pass and there'll be new ones. The economy will change and employment records will be amended and new technology will come and old technology will be forgotten, and on there will be changes. And in this world of change, there is one who doesn't, and that is the Lord your God. In Him you have life, forgiveness, salvation. So it is, come as you are, come as you were, in that sense, leave differently. Once spiritually dead, now alive in Christ. Because if we change this gospel, do you remember what Martin Luther said a long time ago when he wrote, if you change the gospel, you have no gospel. The churches that are preaching tolerance by saying this is okay are changing the gospel to no gospel at all. The church that says, that's not sin, you can keep doing that, is changing the gospel. See, we think they're changing law. But you understand they're changing the gospel because they're saying, God did not die for that. You do not need the cross for this. And it's in the power of the cross and the resurrection that the real change comes, isn't it? Christ died and lives so that we may live in Him, and the result is there's a change. We live differently. Not because we're so great or so hot or so wonderful or so talented or so smart, because we live because of the God and the Savior that we have. We come and we leave differently. You came today, you leave restored. Amen.